Kite flying has a long history. The earliest written account of kite flying, I'm told, is in China in 200 BC. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. To tell us more about kite flying today, we have Mike Sherman with us. He's president of the Wisconsin Kiters Club, and we'll talk with him about flying. Did you fly kites as a kid? Do you like to watch them at an event these days? Or maybe do you do a little kite flying yourself these days? What questions you have about show kites? Those are things I really love to watch, to see. Join the conversation. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Mike Sherman, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent.
Okay. So what's your first memory of kite flying, Mike?
Oh, gosh. Had to be an early birthday. My dad was an Air Force pilot, and he always gave me something that I had in my hands to fly in the yard. So whether it was a kite or an airplane, and usually it was a paper-covered stick kite, diamond shape.
Yeah.
5 years old.
Yeah, I was thinking back to my own time. My dad, I was a farm kid, and my dad said, "Here, let's make a kite." And so we made a kite, and he got some string, and it worked. And I loved it. And then I talked him into buying me an actual kite that was better. And so I. Better than the one we made. But what is it that draws us to kites?
Oh, gosh. You know, that's such a great question. For me, it's a variety of things. It's just magical, I think, to put something in the air and to have control over it. And even more than that, these days, it's just the people, really. It's sharing a passion with people who love kiting, kite making, kite flying. You name it. And being outdoors. I absolutely love being outdoors. And as I've lived in Wisconsin, there's no greater state than Wisconsin to get outdoors and fly a kite in.
Well, I guess I'd agree with you about that. You know, I was really, you know, I loved to fly kites, and then I sort of aged out of it, so to speak. And then I saw... I went to the theater and saw the movie The Kite Runner, set in Afghanistan, and it really kind of brought it back to me. I imagine you've seen that movie.
You know, I've not seen that movie, but, you know, I can certainly identify with you when you said you aged out of it. But so often, it seemed like kites were just toys, and it was interesting because I really got back into kiting about 6 years ago. After going to a festival and seeing that kiting is not just toys. It's actually quite spectacular when you get into the show kites.
It is indeed. We can talk some more about that. Somebody was wondering, how do kites stay in the air? What's the science behind them?
Well, all I can tell you is put your back to the wind, hold your kite out, and it should rise. you know, kiting is based on the principles of... flight, and so a lot of kites have an angle of attack, if you will. They have a curved shape that provides lift. Many of the flowform kites that you see, the large molar tooth-looking flowforms that you see are ram air-filled kites that have a shape that just makes them rise and stay in the air.
It's an amazing thing. And tails. Some kites have tails, and what's the purpose of the tail?
Well, a tail can be very helpful if you're in turbulent winds and your kite's flying all over the place. A tail will provide the necessary drag to help keep it in place and flying in a much straighter pattern. So there's all kinds of tails out there, and there's all kinds of kites out there.
There sure are. Tell us about the Wisconsin Kiters Club.
Yeah, you know, we've been around since 1995. We're a club of about 100 families. We're a very family-oriented club. Family membership is $15. We have a full slate of events all year long, from fun flies with club members to festivals around the Midwest and in Wisconsin. And that's in the summer all the way into the wintertime, flying on frozen lake beds. We have a variety of members who have come from all backgrounds, all experience levels. And the one thing that we share is a passion for being out with each other and flying kites.
So there's a kind of a, I guess you'd call it a community aspect of this.
Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say very much a community across the state. Across the Midwest, we are a affiliated club with the American Kite Flyers Association, and so there's a kiting community across the country internationally. There are groups of people with thousands of people on Facebook, Kite Flyers, Kite Flyers 2.0, you name it. There's a huge community of people out there who love to fly kites, particularly large show kites.
Yeah. Mike Sherman, our guest president of the Wisconsin Kiters Club, and you can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. The Kite Runner movie was set in Afghanistan, and it was about kids who, about a runner, a kite runner who, well, I'm not going to get into all of the details of the movie, but the spectacular video of these kids flying their kites and fighting with kites. Are there competitions like that?
Yeah, you know, the American Kite Flyers Association does have regional and I believe national competitions for two line and four line kites. And then within our club, we actually have performing acts where they'll go to kite festivals. There'll be three or four individuals or five or more, and they'll do a synchronized routine with their kites, whether those are four line or two line kites. We have a team by the name of Three Sheets, so Three Sheets to the Wind, if you think about that. And then there's a Fire and Ice out of Chicago, and there's other teams around the country like 180 Go, and there's the Windjammers out of Detroit that you'll see at a lot of kite festivals in the Midwest and in Wisconsin as well at times. So yeah, there's a lot of activity in the kiting community.
There's been some fabulous kite shows, I guess you could say, in the Madison area in the wintertime on the frozen lakes that are just spectacular. And I've watched that sort of arrangement where you've got three, four people in sync, synchronized flying, I guess you'd call it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the kite shows on Lake Mendota and was on Lake Monona as well were very popular with the local people.
Yes, you know the Mendota Kites on Ice was a little bit before my time here in Wisconsin, and we're trying to bring that back. In partnership with the Clean Lakes Alliance. So each year, if you go to the Frozen Assets Festival, you will find kites there, and we're doing our best to fill the sky as much as we can.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun for me. I happened to be living on Lake Monona for one of those, and so I was right out my back door and out onto the lake. Where do people get these specialty kites?
Well, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, China is where, you know, kiting originated. It's still very much an epicenter for kiting and kite buying. A lot of the large show kites that you see people flying, they actually come from Peter Lynn, who either makes or licensed those kites out of New Zealand. And so there are a variety that you can buy. You can customize them to the shape and pattern that you want, the colors that you want. And so that's where they'll buy them. I myself have a couple of Peter Lynn kites. One is what we call a maxi dog or puppy, probably about 40 or 50 feet long, 20 feet wide. Uses a pilot kite to lift it up, keep it in the air.
Tell you what, I'm going to have you tell me the rest of this because we need to take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us. And we've got Dennis from Dubuque. Dennis, you stay with us. We'll get to you right after we take a look at the news and find out what else is in store for us on the Ideas Network. Mike Sherman, our guest president of the Wisconsin Kiters Club, he'll be with us right up till 12:30, and you'll be able to join in with your questions as well. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller, and we're talking about kite flying on the show right now with our guest, Mike Sherman. Mike is the president of the Wisconsin Kiters Club, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions and comments as we move along. Do you like to make and kites or fly them? Where do you participate in kite flying? You know, what would you like to know about show kites? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And, you know, let's take a call. Dennis in Dubuque's been waiting a bit, so we'll go there. Dennis, hi, thanks for waiting.
Oh, thank you, Larry and Mike. As a kid, I used to take the old grocery bags, the old brown paper bags, and I spent one day from 10 o'clock until at least 5 o'clock, and I brought extra string along with me, and I think I had that kite out about a mile or better. And I had a cotton sheet tail on it. I don't know, maybe three little strips off the end of it. But, yeah, it took me all day to do that. But my question is, I have a Skynosaur, and, geez, I can't get it up in the air. I got the tail. It's probably about 20 foot long or whatever, but I can get it up so far, and then it just dives.
So first, maybe, Mike, you can tell us, what's a Skynosaur?
Well, if I'm understanding it, that the one that he has is probably, I'm guessing, is it a dual line kite? And the Skynosaur made some dual line kites back in the 80s.
From the 80s, but it's a single line.
Single line, okay. And is it delta shaped?
It's just diamond shaped.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, I would tell you probably take a look at your bridle setting. And it may need some adjustment at your bridle setting if it's not going up in the air.
Now, the bridle setting, is that where the two pieces of wood contact?
Well, actually, I'm assuming you've got two pieces of line coming off of the kite to which you're tying your flight line to. Is that right?
I gave the kite away. I can't remember.
Oh.
To a grandfather who was going to teach his kid how to fly.
Yeah, it's just probably a matter of where you're tying the line to the kite to get it to rise.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Dennis, thanks for calling. Nate in Sheboygan, your turn. Hi, Nate.
Sure. I was wondering where I could find information about kiting events in the Wisconsin area. I live in Sheboygan. So there's plenty of good real estate to fly kites and lots of wind by the water, but I'd like to take my kids out and show them, some other, you know, real big kites. We've been to a few events, but it's fun when there's a lot up in the air, and I'd like to find them.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, we have a lot of members who are in the Sheboygan area. You can visit WisconsinKleidersClub.com, and we have a calendar of where you'll find club members around the state at given times throughout the year. So feel free to visit us. And then if you're interested in a membership, we've got a membership form there as well. Again, it's $15 for a family membership.
So
we love to fly in Sheboygan itself in Dielen Park from time to time as well. So you'll see us out there.
So what was the website again?
WisconsinKitersClub.com.
.com. Okay. All right. Do you have one off the top of your head, events that are coming up in the near future?
Yeah, in fact, you can join us in Green Bay, where they'll have the annual Fly a Kite Fest on the 25th of June. And that will be at Arnie Wolf Sports Complex. So coming up here at the end of the month. And then as we head into August, we've actually got three new events that we're working on in the state. And one of them is going to be on August 6th. It's in Windsor DeForest. We're working with the Chamber of Commerce there. They'll have Windsor's Windy Kite Festival on August 6th. And that will be at Windsor Sports Complex. And then heading into September, we've got Kites Over Lake Michigan, which has been running for the last 17 years. Used to be on Nashua Beach, but the beach has become quite narrow these days. So we're flying at the high school, Two Rivers High School. That's a two-day event on Labor Day, the 3rd and the 4th.
There you go. There you go, Nate. And if you didn't get all that written down, you can go to WisconsinKitersClub.com, and all the information will be there. Thanks thanks so much for that question. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Amanda in Middleton couldn't stay with us. She called but couldn't stay with us. She'd like to know how windy it needs to be to fly a kite. And do you have any tips for finding good spots?
Oh, finding good spots. Yes, absolutely. So for winds, you know, you really want to look. It depends on the kite. A lot of kites come with a rating, for one thing. So a typical kite you might find would fly between 7 and 20 miles per hour. And if you buy a good quality kite, the tag will show you the rating and the line weight that you should use. But best winds for kiting, 10 plus miles an hour. Probably wouldn't want to go over 20 and over 15, too much over 15 as well. And in terms of finding a good place, you want to find a really open, grassy area would be nice, without buildings or trees, which can block the wind or create a lot of turbulence, which will make it difficult for your kite to fly in the air.
That's why those winter events on Lake Michigan are or on Lake Mendota or Monona or any other lake are so good, because they're wide open.
You got it. There's nothing like flying on a frozen lake bed.
Except wear, have some warm shoes on or warm boots on or something when you do it. Now, just before the break, I asked you about your own kites and where you get them. You mentioned Peter Lind, I believe.
That's right. Peter Lind Kites out of New Zealand. And I think if you visit peterlind.com, you'll find all the show kites that they have for sale there.
And again, what? Tell us about your kites.
Well, I probably have upwards of 70 different types of kites. I've got a lot of small framed kites, varying sizes, but then I do have some large show kites. I've got a gecko from Peter Lind that's 30 feet wide and 98 feet long. I've got a maxi gecko from Peter Lind. That's that one. I have a maxi Ray from Peter Lind that's about 32 feet wide and 96 feet long, and then I have a maxi dog. So there's all kinds of shapes and sizes of kites. A lot of them pull like a freight train. They require staking down and having lines of 2 to 3,000 pounds, you know, to keep them from flying away. And it's just a lot of fun.
Did you ever lose one of those big ones? Have it fly?
I've never lost one. Never say never, but I've never lost one before. Although I have been in a position where I couldn't get them down on my own, as you could imagine. A lot of times you need a group of people to help you bring them down, particularly if the winds are above in the high teens or 20s. So
yeah.
And safety is really rule number one, right? So when we're at a festival, we do everything that we can to stake these kites down. If we're on a beach, we use a sand anchor that has straps on all four corners. We fill it with sand, and that's typically enough weight to hold it down. And then if we're flying on a frozen lake bed, we use an auger and a 2x4, and we'll use a strap and a carabiner, and we'll carabiner the line to the strap, which is held down by the 2x4 under the ice. So there's a lot of ways to go about it.
Barb in Milwaukee has a comment. Hi, Barb.
Good morning. Good morning. Is it? No, it's good afternoon, isn't it?
It is afternoon.
Yeah. Hi, Barb.
There you go. I have a friend who I've met through actually kite making. My church has an annual grouping every year, and he's, I think, taught 3 or 4 different classes on kite making. His name is Chuck Jones, and he owns a store on kite making in Tennessee. And I was just wondering how far afield you go in terms of knowing people. Do you know anybody like Chuck or anybody else nationally that do kites?
You know, such a great question. Some of our club members include people like Tony Killip, who's Illinois-based, and Barbara Meyer, who's Minnesota-based. They're both renowned for their kite making, and they are their patterns and kites are being commercially sold through Premier Kites and Designs. You'll find that Killip foil in a variety of sizes from 90 square feet all the way down to 20 square feet. Tony also has a Tunnel Delta, which has a unique keel on it and is 16 feet wide. So yeah, we actually do engage with a number of kite makers and flyers from around the country. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is indeed. And do you guys do it, through the Wisconsin Kiters? Do you ever do instruction on how to make your own?
We are part of a larger Midwest area that has a annual event called UMake. It's the Upper Midwest Kite Makers event. And anybody can sign up, and it's usually held in the month of March each year. It's a weekend where you spend 2 days. You can select a number of different classes on how to make a variety of different kites and come away with something that's homemade, handmade, all your own.
Bill in Oregon, Wisconsin, emailed that he too has made the effort to put over 5,000 feet of line on a kite. He wonders, are there any laws or regulation about kite altitudes?
That's a great question. And if I'm accurate in knowing this, I think it's 500 feet here in the U.S. My understanding in places like England is it's only 300 feet. But when you're flying a large show kite, we typically like them to be 100 to 200 feet off the ground. Otherwise, they kind of lose their mystique. But that's a good question.
It is indeed. And so, Bill in Oregon, it's 500 feet, not 5,000 of line that you should be letting out. Are there, if you're looking for us, okay, what caller earlier was talking about his kids and wanting to take his kids out, and he's probably somebody who might buy some kites or probably has bought kites for his children. But what, are there some simple kites out there that are quality, and what do you look for, the material and things of that nature?
Yeah, such a great question. I mean, if you're going to buy a kite, preferably you want to get something that's made of ripstop nylon, not plastic. There are kites in all different shapes and sizes. A good delta kite, a triangle shape with a keel, is usually a really good quality flyer. A lot of times they come with string, and there are a variety of places you can find to buy them, particularly online. One place that I would recommend is Unique Flying Objects. That is a kite store that was managed for years out of Two Rivers, Wisconsin. They have a great online presence and a lot of high-quality kites. And they've been a sponsor of our club for quite some time, so a great place to get a kite.
So Unique Flying Objects, that's the name of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
And what are we talking about in terms of a range? You know, let's say a simple triangle shape from Unique Flying Objects. What might that cost you? And then you get into these bigger ones. What's a price on some of these bigger ones?
Yeah, usually you can start out with a child or a small Delta kite for about $25 to $30. And then if you're really into it and you want something a little higher quality that's going to last maybe a little bit longer, I'd recommend a Delta. You can get a Delta at 7 to 9 feet for about $60, so 9 feet wide. You go to an 11-foot Delta, and that's probably going to run you about $100, $110. There's a variety of other types of kites you can get. Now, if you're looking at large show kites, you're probably looking into the thousands of dollars. It's not uncommon for a large maxi ray. If you've seen those large kites,
very cool.
Those will run probably around $2,000 or so. You could probably get a really nice flow form from there's a place called Fun with Wind that sells some very large flow forms for about $300 to $500. They come with a nice banner tail. So then again, that's funwithwind.com. And there's a variety of places. If you look on AliExpress as well, there's a variety of stores out of China that sell kites as well. But yes, it's quite common to go into $200-$300 or more for a large kite. And then what we also fly is what we call line laundry, right? So many cases you'll see maybe a large dog or a big alligator or something that's flying on a line, and it's actually being filled up with wind and pressurized, and then it's being held up with what we'll call a lifter kite or a pilot kite. So there's a small kite at the top that keeps it in the air, and then you've got this fabulous piece of what we call line laundry that's the size of a school bus or larger at times. And, that's what it's all about. And that's what can cost quite a bit of money.
Dennis in Two Rivers, we'll go to you. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Larry. I know when you're talking before about how long a string and how high the kite can get, well, they need to consider a kite can be relatively low but still far away from the kite flyer. So that can
read
into how safe it is. And I just thought it's kind of nice that you have something on about kite flying where you could talk about Ben Franklin before we talk about electricity and Tesla coming up in chapter a day.
You picked up on that too.
Now somebody's going to say, what's the angle there? We lost him. Tesla and kites.
Oh,
Ben Franklin. Oh, he's talking about Ben Franklin and kites. Oh yeah, of course we know that story. For sure. Let's see. I had one other question from a listener. What's the best shape and style for a beginner?
Yeah, I would say any Delta would be a great kite to fly. A Delta is, again, just a triangle kite. It's got a keel in the middle. There's one attachment point for your line. It rises at a high angle. It's a kite that you can easily add tails to keep it in place and to keep it from flying all over the place, if that's the case. But a Delta can be a lot of fun. So that's what I would recommend.
Chris in Menominee, what's on your mind?
I'm here to share a little bit of disappointing news. Unique Flying Objects Kite Store in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, closed as a storefront at least on Tuesday, the 31st of May. The owner had been in operation for 19 years, and his name is slipping my mind.
It's Chow Chong. It's Chow Chong.
Yes, and I was in the store on the day that he closed. If you saw the amount of kites and other paraphernalia in the store, you'd think, boy, he's going to be in business for a long time. But I think it's only going to be an online presence. He said
that's right.
Until it was all gone. And he's still participating in kite flying festivals around the state. He admitted.
So because we're getting short on time here, that's too bad. But he does have the online presence.
He does. He's maintaining his store online.
So, Chris, thanks a lot for filling us in. Apparently, selling what he's got left is still in the store from the sound of it. So that is too bad in a way, but maybe COVID-related or whatever. But at least he's online, and you can still get kites from his company. I tell you what, it has been really interesting for me to learn more about these kites. And I want to thank you so much, Mike, for taking time to be with us today. It was a lot of fun having you with us, and good luck in your kiting, and thank you again.
Well, Larry, much appreciated. Have a great day.
Yeah, you as well. Mike Sherman, president of the Wisconsin Kiters Club. It was fun having him with us today. And, you know, maybe we'll do this again. You never know what's going to happen on a Tuesday, the first Tuesday of the month when we do a sports show. We cover a pretty broad range of sports, and today we got rock climbing and we got kiting. So we were up in the air a lot today on the Ideas Network. Just looking ahead to tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about which fish are biting. Skip Sommerfeld back to talk about that. And then at 11:45, we'll look at the work being done on the Lake Superior National Estuarine Research Reserve. That's a mouthful, but that's what we're going to talk about. It's really interesting. They've got some really cool research going on there. So that's Wednesday right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. But in the meantime, hey, stay with us. Lots of good shows right through the afternoon on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.